Where is the Holy Spirit during the Great Tribulation? Well, that's the important question that our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, answers today on Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host, welcoming you aboard the Bible bus as we continue our study of the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Now, while many of our studies in Revelation are somber, today we'll hear some good news about things that will happen during the most difficult period our world will face. So go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn them to Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And while you find your place, let's welcome Through the Bible's president, Greg Harris, who's also here to share some good news with us as well. Greg, why don't you tell us more about how God is at work through the ministry of Through the Bible?
Well, Steve, this week our world prayer team is traveling through the U.S. because our mandate is the whole word for the whole world.
Right.
And while we talk a lot about our global ministry, the U.S. is an important mission field, not just in English, but also in Spanish. And that's really what I'd like to encourage our listening family with today, is to know that we have a great ministry throughout North and South America in the Spanish language.
Right. Now, for those of you that don't know, Spanish was actually our first foreign language. It was launched back in 1973. And if you could think of languages like children, if you have 100 kids, you certainly love them all, but there's always a special place for that firstborn, and that's what we always think of when we think about Spanish.
That's really well said, Steve. Whenever we talk about Spanish, we do get a particularly warm spot in our heart for that ministry, because God has used it not only as the foundation of our global ministry, as you said, but the outreach is just tremendous. Today, Steve, we are on, and I'm going to say approximately, and I'll explain in a minute if you want, about 700 stations in North and South America that are airing Spanish TTB.
Now, Greg, tell me, why don't you know the exact number?
You just set me up beautifully
I
for
did.
That. The reason is that we make the programs freely available by internet, by a satellite system in Latin America. It has a wonderful name. It stands for the word WINGS in Spanish. So it's a satellite that's delivering the Through the Bible programs to local stations. Because we make it freely available, Steve, we don't even know how many stations are actually taking it. So probably it's a bigger number, but we try not to exaggerate.
Great. Now, we're also on 130 of those 700 stations here in the U.S.
Yes.
And by the way, the second largest Spanish-speaking country in the world with a Hispanic population of more than 50 million people is the United States.
That is something that surprises a lot of people.
Indeed. So why don't you give us an update? We've got some new ministry strategies as it relates to Spanish. We're doing some things social media-wise, YouTube, iTunes. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, you just named several of them, so let me kind of explain them.
Okay.
We are very active on Facebook. In fact, literally just this week, I received an email where they said a single post reached 250,000 people.
Wow.
Now, apparently, this is something new that Facebook has introduced where they can actually show the reach of an individual post. So that gives you some idea of how active our Spanish-speaking ministry is in Facebook. As you said, we're also on YouTube. We've talked a lot about our new initiative to put Dr. McGee in English
right,
on YouTube.
Right.
And also, he's available in Spanish. And, Steve, we have had literally tens of thousands of hours of people viewing Dr. McGee. Well, they're not viewing Dr. McGee. It's just a picture, and it's the audio of the
right.
Spanish.
So really what people are doing is using YouTube as an internet radio station and streaming through that delivery method.
That's exactly what they're doing. And, you know, with new smart TVs, you can use some of the various smart TV things like Roku or Apple TV or Fire TV
right.
to actually view YouTube. So some people may be listening and hearing the programs on their television.
That is exciting. Now, we've got some letters that we always like to read. So let me read a response that we got from one of our Spanish language listeners here in California from a listener named Rena. I've been on the Bible bus every morning for 4 years. I'm so grateful to each of you for being at the Lord's service to teach us. I've been a Christian since 1974, but I've never known my Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, and His Word the way I do now. I thank God for Brother McGee.
Beautiful. And if we have time, here's a letter that we got from Cuba. And it says, I want to thank you for being on my radio every night as I grew up. I'm in college and I have no radio here and the internet is quite limited, but I try to listen whenever I can. Mm. Until her death, my grandmother, even though she could not read, listened to the program every night. And now my parents, my sister, and my brother listen to it along with the notes and outlines. Thank you for helping my family learn about our great and loving Savior.
What a wonderful letter. And if you'd like to be an active participant in helping this ministry around the world in the Spanish language and all the other languages, join our World Prayer Team today. You can sign up online. Go to ttb.org/pray. You'll get a brief email Monday through Friday that'll help you pray the way the rest of the members of the team are praying as well. Greg, why don't you pray for us as we open Revelation chapter 7 with Dr. McGee.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your faithfulness to this ministry, the way you began our global outreach with the Spanish language and the way you've touched so many hearts. We pray now that as we turn our hearts to your word, you would teach us and transform us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
We've come now to the seventh chapter, and this seventh chapter brings us to what I have given as the theme in my book on Revelation. God seals a remnant of Israel, and he saves a redeemed company of Gentiles during the Great Tribulation. Now, keeping before us, they thought that we're in a book that has been labeled a book difficult to understand, and that it's just a mumbo-jumbo of a great deal of visions that are actually out of this world, most of them, and that no one can understand it. And we made the statement that this actually is the book that is more logical and is divided in a way that no one can miss it, in fact, in a very simple manner. And we have seen that the one thing, though, that is essential, this book happens to be the last book of the Bible. And so when you're studying in school, for instance, you begin with arithmetic, 2 + 2 = 4. Well, you don't start the little ones off today in first grade with atomic physics, and you don't start them off with higher mathematics. Well, the book of Revelation is the last book of the Bible, and the only requirement is to have a working knowledge of 65 books that have gone before. When you do that, why, you'll find that this book makes a great deal of sense, and it's quite logical. Now, we're going to see that as we enter this chapter. We have been looking at the opening of the seven seals. The only thing is, we've only had the opening of 6 seals so far. And we saw that the riding forth of those 4 horsemen of the apocalypse is the opening, beginning of the Great Tribulation period. And that we've come to a period in which the church is never mentioned by name. And the reason it's never mentioned by name is because they're recording things on earth, and at this particular time, the church is not on earth. In chapters 2 and 3, John was told to write the things you've seen. He saw the vision of the glorified Christ, and you're to write the things that are. He was in the church period. We're still in it today. And I hope that we're in it today, because if the rapture's taken place, then you and I have been left. But I think the church is still in the world today, and we are in the things that are. Now the church is to be taken out of the world, and when it is, it won't be mentioned. It was the theme of chapters 2 and 3, the church in Ephesus, the church in Smyrna, the church in Pergamos, the church in Thyatira. But there's no talking to the church here, because the church is not here on earth. We saw it in chapters 4 and 5, the church was in heaven. That's where the church had gone. And I'm going to deal later on why the church cannot go through the Great Tribulation period. There's actually a moral problem here, a theological problem, if the church even entered one phase of the Great Tribulation period, so that the subject is changed. And we're talking about other things, and we were introduced to 7 seals, a book with 7 seals, and the seals are being removed. 6 have been. Now, I think those 4 horsemen introduced the Great Tribulation period, and the 7 seals give an overall picture of that 7-year period of the Great Tribulation period. And the last of the seals bear down on the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period, We'll see how that's divided later on. But here you have brought before us up to this point the fact that one-fourth of the population of the earth was destroyed in judgment, actually destroyed in death. Now, I'm sure that anyone reading Revelation senses the fact that it's going to be very difficult to make it through this period, and especially if you turn to God, if you accept Christ, and if you stand for Him. The fact of the matter is, will you be able to stand during this period? And there are several questions that arise regarding this. Now, John's going to put down here another principle by which he'll follow, because he knows you and I are going to have trouble with Revelation. So he made it very simple for us. He introduces a series of sevens. We've already had that introduced at the beginning. Now, he has a book with seven seals. But the way that he deals with that is the important thing for us to see. That between the sixth and seventh seal, there is always introduced an interval where what would seem to be extraneous matter is brought in, but it is explanatory matter because it explains the action. It answers certain questions. And that's what this chapter is going to do for us, chapter 7, because we have the principle now put down that between the sixth and seventh of anything, it'll be true of the trumpets, it'll be true of the seven bowls of wrath and the seven persons that are introduced, and you'll always find John following this great principle all the way through this particular section of Revelation so that we don't lose our way. Now, I want to answer a question that would naturally arise. I'm sure that any reasonable person would raise this question at this time. Well, what about people getting saved? How about people turning to God during this period? Because somebody's going to say to me, now, when we were back in 2 Thessalonians, you made it clear from that particular section that the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, is removed from the earth. He has taken the church to present the church to Christ. And so you can't have any turning to God without the work of the Holy Spirit. So will anybody get saved, the Holy Spirit not being present? Well, friends, the Holy Spirit is present. Someone says, but that's not what you said. Oh, I didn't say that the Holy Spirit left the world. I said that he no longer restrained. You see, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost to perform a specific ministry of calling out a body of believers in the church, and that is called the body of Christ. And when the church is removed, then that peculiar ministry of the Holy Spirit ends. And one of the ministries of this particular era was restraining. I think that it was absolutely essential that he be a restrainer because the gospel was going to penetrate a Satan-controlled and a Satan-blinded world. Unless the Spirit of God holds back evil, that the word might go out, you see. Just think of the forces of evil that today are working against the getting out of the Word of God. I'm amazed the first year or two when we moved out here, we just sailed along like a breeze in this broadcast. And then problems came along. And then I got sick and all of these things. And finally, when we regained our equilibrium and began to look around, we said, what's happening? Well, the enemy was busy. And believe me, if the restrainer hadn't been at work, I'm sure that we would have been removed from the scene. Now, during the period of the Great Tribulation, how are people going to get saved then? Because he won't be restraining evil. The Great Tribulation is the devil's holiday. That's the day when he's going to have freedom to do as he pleases. And we're going to see why God's going to grant that. And it's a period of the judgment of God upon a Christ-rejecting world. So does anybody then get saved in the Great Tribulation? My friend, the greatest company I believe in any given period of time, this is a seven-year period, I believe there'll be more saved in that period than in any other period in the history of the world. I think that's going to be the great time. And someone says, how will it take place? Well, chapter 7 is going to tell us how. The Holy Spirit is in the world. He was in the world before Pentecost. You find the Spirit of God working in the Old Testament, in the hearts and lives of men and women, and many multitudes were brought to God. But he was not restraining evil in the world. And he was not baptizing believers into the body of the church in the Old Testament. Now, that's what he's doing today. And that minister will cease, but he's in the business of getting men and women to Christ. And he'll have to have a special program, an unusual special program during this period. What's that program going to be? Well, he's going to tell us now. And I'm going to read at verse 1. I hope you have the authorized version. Actually, that's the only version I can honestly recommend today. I much prefer it with notes, however, but be that as it may, I do like to look at the other translations, and I've had the audacity to put in my book of Revelation my translation, although it's not a translation. I've just attempted to bring literal words up and try to say what John was saying, and that's all. And I've even made no attempt to put it in a form that would be grammatically accurate in English. I wanted it to be grammatically accurate out of the Greek, and that's my only excuse for doing what I've done. So will you listen now? And I'm going to read several verses here in order to get us into this chapter, but I won't be able to deal with all of them. Verse 1, after this, after what? Well, what we've been talking about. After there was this tremendous judgment, after the four horsemen rode, after this, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding firmly the four winds of the earth, that no wind might blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Verse 2, now in 3. And I saw another angel ascending from the sun rising, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a great voice to the four angels, to whom it had been given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, until we shall have sealed the servants, that is, the bond slaves of our God, in their foreheads. And I heard the number of those sealed, 144,000 sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel. And I'm going to break off the reading there. That's the number from the nation Israel. But we'll see that out of the earth, there was a number of Gentiles. You couldn't even count them. There was so many of them that were saved. And I noticed that all the evangelists and all of us preachers today, we are able to give you the count. In fact, we may give you an account that may be a little bit larger than it really is. But here's one that they couldn't count. And I have to tell you, I'd like to know where the preacher evangelist is that couldn't count them today. But apparently in the Great Tribulation, there's going to be a great company that are to be saved. Now, how are they to be saved? They're going to be sealed. Sealed how? The Holy Spirit's going to be here not only to regenerate them, but he will have a special ministry of this Spirit of sealing them. And what is a seal? Well, that guarantees they're going to be delivered. You see, you go down to a post office and you say, I want to register this letter. They stamp it there, put a seal on it, and you pay a little extra for that. And they mean that the entire post office department are going to get back of that letter and see that it's delivered. All of them are back. Now, they may be a little late today getting it to you, but they guarantee they're going to get it to you. Now, that is what seal here means. They're sealed. The Holy Spirit guarantees they're going to make it through the Great Tribulation. And friend, if he wasn't there to see them make it through, they wouldn't make it through. And if you really want to know the truth today, I feel like telling the truth, so I'll just say this. Vernon McGee wouldn't make it through today if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit.
I wonder if you and I realize how weak we are. Well, you know, I'd deny him before the sun went down on another day if it wasn't for his work in me by the Spirit of God. Well, you know, we all have that nature that's in rebellion against God. So these people are going to be sealed. That's what we have just heard. Now we have an interlude. Before the seventh seal is open, here this angel's more than a sergeant. He's probably a lieutenant colonel or a general. He says, hold everything. He says, hold back the winds of judgment, the winds of the great tribulation, because we've got to seal these folks that are going to make it through. And there'll be two great companies out of the nation, Israel and Gentiles. Somebody says, where's the church? Well, I just told you, the beginning, they're not here. They are with Christ, I think, in the New Jerusalem, because he said he was going to prepare a place for those that were his, and now that he's taken them out, well, they're with him. And that city will come down from God out of heaven later on when we'll get a look at it. And I want to spend time with that, because that's where I'm going to live throughout eternity. And I always like to know where I'm going to move to. And I don't know why there's so many saints today. They talk about going to heaven, and they don't seem to know very much about where they're going. Well, may I say to you, the Bible really doesn't tell us much about it. But what it does say about it is very interesting and very important. And all that's in the book of Revelation. Now, that's the reason this book is very important. Now, let me come back to the text that I have read, verse 1. After this, we've already said, after the riding of the four horsemen, and I believe that we are given, as it were, a bird's eye view of the great tribulation period, an overall picture of it. And now the details are going to be given to us. And after this, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. A smart aleck boy got up in a meeting years ago where Dr. Ironside was speaking, and he says, I told you the Bible was unscientific. He apparently had talked to Dr. Ironside before, and he says, why, the Bible teaches that the earth is flat because it says the four corners of the earth. And Dr. Ironside said, young man, I'm amazed. Didn't you know that the earth has four corners? And the young man says, no, I didn't know the earth has four corners. What are they? He says, north, east, south, and west. That's the four corners of the earth, friends, you see. And that's the directions. The four angels, one in the north, east, south, and west. And they were holding firmly the four winds of the earth that no wind might blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. Now, these would be the winds of judgment. God uses wind and judgment, and he controls it. In Psalm 148:8, it says, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. And so now the winds of judgment are to be held back. Nothing can move now until God accomplishes his purpose. Now, what's his purpose going to be? I do not think God would permit any period to go on this earth that there weren't some turning to God, because that's his purpose. I don't think he'd run this world. I think he'd shut it down, turn it off, speak it out of existence if there were not folk turning to him. And so this will be a period when multitudes will turn to him. Now, we'll have to leave off right there. We've got a foot in the door, but this is a very important chapter, as you can see.
Praise God for his unending mercy, that even in the darkest days, multitudes will be able to turn to him. And praise him that what he will do then is the same as he's doing now, sending his Spirit to draw people into relationship with him. If you'd like to help us in getting his word out so more people can know him, there are a couple ways that you can do that. First and most importantly, please join us in praying for the effectiveness of each language broadcast of Through the Bible. Currently, we're heard in more than 160 countries and over 100 languages around the world. To help you pray specifically for each one, you can join our World Prayer Team at ttb.org/pray. Now, as a World Prayer Team member, you'll join me and more than 2,500 other Through the Bible listeners as we travel the globe on our knees, asking God to move in the hearts and lives of the people that we meet along the way. Signing up is really simple. Just visit our website at ttb.org/pray to find out more. And if God is leading you to help us keep gas in the Bible bus as we share His whole word with the whole world, we'd love for you to partner with us. I don't say it very often, but it's only through the generosity of listeners like you that this ministry continues. To find out how you can financially support Through the Bible, call us today at 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit us at ttb.org. And join us right here tomorrow as Dr. McGee continues to unravel the marvelous mystery of the book of Revelation. In fact, why don't you read ahead? We can do it together. Let's read the rest of Revelation chapter 7 and ask God to prepare our hearts and minds for what we will study. That's all for us today. I'm Steve Schwetz praying that God will bless and keep you as you walk with Him.
Unto Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain.
This program's been brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of the worldwide ministry of Through the Bible Radio Network.